So this is the Cosmos Chronicles, the October surprise interview with Dr. Michael Wolff. And our first question.
Dr. Wolff, do you have an advanced degree in computer science, and are you now experimenting with fractals?
Yes, fractal geometry conceived by Benoit Mandelbrot.
Great, great.
Have you ever... Also recursive fractals.
Okay, recursive fractals. Do you have you ever been, or are you, a member or associate or advisor to the National Security Council?
Although the copyright in my book does have a disclaimer, I would say I have been a consultant.
Fair enough.
I have been a consultant.
A consultant, right. Have you been a consultant to or member of the Majestic 12 Special Studies Group?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Steve.
Do you have offices at Area 51, the above top secret Air Force research facility in Nellis Air Force Base, northwest of Los Angeles?
Las Vegas.
Sorry.
No, only in S4.
Fair enough.
But also at, offices at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the Foreign Technology Division.
Dr. Wolff, was your father stationed at Roswell Air Force Base after World War II with the 509th Bomber Group?
Yes, he was. Upon being stationed there, he immediately flew to Tinian, where
okay.
the bombs left him.
Fair enough. Let's let it be. We'll get into those materials. Just keep the answers very precise now, because we will move into those areas and open them up after we're done with this section.
Okay.
And the 509th Bomber Group, isn't that the bomber group that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki from the Enola Gay?
Well, only the, not the Nagasaki, but the Enola Gay, yes, dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
Good. Steve.
Did your father transport a crashed disc or disc in 1947 or thereabouts from Roswell Air Force Base to Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Ohio?
Yes.
Thank you.
Frank Carroll.
Did you work with the black budget programs classified above top secret and managed by the NPO, the National Program Office?
Yes.
Was your father a contactee or an abductee?
Yes.
Before you were 12 years old, had you experienced a contact or abduction by ETs?
Yes.
Is it true that you were a counterintelligence terrorist consultant to the Israeli intelligence agency, the Mossad?
Yes.
Were treaties ever signed on behalf of the American people with extraterrestrial forces without the consent of Congress?
Correct.
Did the Greys, who originate on Reticulan 4, signed treaties with US, with agents representing the people of the United States without the congressional assent?
Without the Senate?
Yes.
Ratifying such treaties per the Constitution?
Right.
Yes.
Did Majestic 12 sign these documents?
Yes.
Were you a flight surgeon, counterintelligence officer, and command pilot in Vietnam?
Yes.
Did you have missing time when you were 10 years old in Orange, New Jersey?
Yes, I have.
Are crop circles of the sort that we are seeing in Britain at this time and elsewhere in the world being created by higher intelligence sources for the purpose of warning humanity that we must restructure our relationship to the cosmos?
Yes, because in a sense they're taking these fields and restructuring them too.
Okay.
Just as we should be.
Are the crop circles created by the Greys or Zeta Reticulans?
By by the Zeta Reticulum.
Any other groups? The Nordics?
The Nordics has something to do with it, but the actual creation is done by what is referred to in the briefing documents as Red Fours.
Red Fours.
Red, as in reticulum.
Okay, Red Fours.
In May of 1978, did you receive the highest security clearance our intelligence community bestows?
Yes.
Right.
Are you a member of the AlphaCon team, the lead agency whose mission objectives are to determine the extent of visitation, the number of types of visitors, the many reasons for these visits, and human interaction with them now and in the past?
Up to today, and it hasn't changed yet, I have been team leader.
That was the next question. Are you the team leader of AlphaCon?
Correct.
Is AlphaCom involved in reestablishing positive contact with off-world people who military forces have attacked with beam weapons and other devices?
Yes, but you have to realize it's so compartmentalized the left hand does not always know what the right hand is doing.
Have you ever seen and even worked with an extraterrestrial metal that radiates organic intelligence?
Yes.
Is the gateway treatment an experiment to explain consciousness and develop higher mental powers?
Yes.
Frank.
In 1952, during your missing time experience, did your brain begin mysteriously to open itself up?
Yes.
In 1957, did you go to Washington, D.C. with your father at the time before Sputnik was first launched and talk with your father's Air Force colleagues about flying saucers?
Yes.
Were these officers deeply surprised upon learning that you had been in contact with the Greys?
No.
Steve.
Did you help develop the paint that is used on self-bombers?
Yes.
Do the Greys have dolphin-like skin?
Some. The ones I've been in contact with, yes, have dolphin-like skin and have a relationship.
Do the Greys and the dolphins share an evolutionary link?
Yes.
Steve.
Did you design the flow chart now used by the U.S. intelligence community?
With someone else, yes, but mostly my ideas.
Great.
Have you had spiritual visualization in an altered state of your deceased wife, Sarah?
Yes.
Did you play a role in Fellini's 8 1/2?
Frederico.
Yeah, well, both as assistant to the director and as an actor.
Was your stage name Neil Robinson?
Robertson.
Robinson.
Robinson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Have you ever had a scoop mark indicating abduction and medical analysis?
Have I ever had what?
Have you ever had a scoop mark indicating abduction?
I had scoop marks all over my body, and then I have a slit on my arm that was never stitched that healed within 1 week because I was seeing a doctor every Saturday.
Have certain ET forces attempted to build a wormhole highway through the location of Sol 3?
Passing near enough to it to make it difficult for Sol 3 to continue.
Steve.
Are you at this stage of your life enduring a serious health crisis?
Yes.
By answering these questions, are you violating subsection 312 of the National Security Act?
No.
Does the Vatican know of the existence of EBEs? Is the Vatican in contact with them?
Indirectly.
Is it true that more than 1 in 40 citizens have been abducted?
Yeah, as of the first three Roper surveys, yes.
Are the off-worlders coming to Earth to prevent the destruction of this planet's health and beauty, the beauty of a rare water world?
They are encouraging it.
They're encouraging the not encouraging the destruction.
They are encouraging the non-destruction.
Right, and the restoration. Okay. So they're here to prevent the destruction of this planet's health and beauty.
No, they're simply here to encourage the prevention.
Aha, so they're here to encourage us to prevent our own self-destruction.
Correct.
Okay, and is that tied into one fact being that the Earth is a water world, and water worlds are rare?
Water worlds are not that rare, but this is indeed a water world because it is mostly water.
Is the UN playing any role in ET negotiations?
The only role I know of is the Metaphysical Club by an Egyptian by the name of Ramadan.
Ramadan.
There is a Metaphysical Club. Whether or not it has mainstreamed into the UN, I don't know.
Okay.
Have you ever been referred to as Dr. X?
Yes.
Were you a member of an astronomical research team seeking Planet X?
I can't comment on that.
Have you ever watched a television program entitled The X Files?
Yes, occasionally.
Steve.
Did the reptilians and others create Adam and Eve?
You're speaking of reptilians?
Reticulans.
Sorry, yes.
Reticulans.
The Zetas.
Reticulians. Zeta, reticulans, red fours, yes.
Red fours, okay. Frank.
Is your original home Altara, a double star in the constellation of Aquila, 15.7 light years from Earth?
I believe so. I believe, well, that would take explanation, but for a short answer, I believe so.
So besides being an abductee and a contactee, you are also an ET yourself?
That cannot be answered yes or no.
Okay.
Did Robert Lazar walk out of the Los Alamos with element 115?
Yes, he did.
Approximately at the age of 12, 13, or 14, did your IQ, as measured by the Stanford-Binet test, suddenly leap from 141 to 186 while living at your grandfather's hotel?
Yes.
Has the cadet corps at the United States Air Force been instructed in their textbooks on how to deal with the ET situation?
Yes.
Is there a face on Mars placed within a monument complex as reported by Richard Hoagland in his analysis of NASA photographs of Mars?
Yes.
Are there bases on the moon?
Yes.
Are there abandoned cities built by ET peoples on the moon?
Not cities.
Are there ET mining operations on the moon?
There were.
Were Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins, and other astronauts warned away from the moon by ET forces?
Yes.
Did astronauts see flying saucers and bases on the moon?
Yes.
Steve.
Did saucers land at Holloman Air Force Base, witnessed by Gordon Cooper, the astronaut?
Yes.
Frank.
Is it true that you have been cleared at the highest level security clearance and that you report to only one person and that person reports to no one?
Correct.
And is that person a extraterrestrial?
No.
Do the Zeta 4s live among the dolphins? Do they socialize with each other as societies? Do the Zetans abduct dolphins?
No.
Are they co-equals?
Yes.
Did President Clinton have anything to do with the publishing of this book?
Yes.
Is Colta the only ET visitor you have befriended in this lifetime?
No.
Okay, we've asked our questions, and I hope that you now feel more comfortable in interacting with us. This will give our audience, I think, a good ground upon which to experience the rest of our discussion. Conversation with you today, the three of us were speculating about the water world idea and the notion that our species would be viewed by the dolphin Zeta
connection
that as barbaric. That we think, of course, we humans think that we sort of have dominion over the earth. And I know, personally, I've always been puzzled as to, well, the dolphins seem, they do seem to be extremely smart, and
they
always seem to me to be extremely smart.
They are.
I mean, you know, and why?
More highly intelligent, or we would have found ways to communicate with them, which I believe is still classified.
So basically, our pollution of the water, ultimately, where we're ruining the atmosphere and the water, affects them directly.
The surface of the water where they come up to breathe, that's true.
And
many have beached themselves. And I would say if you were to know them, it's a statement, it's a suicide statement. The same has been true with some whales. They don't beach themselves because their navigation is off, or they have lung infections, or maybe they are dying, but they do beach themselves and die more quickly than if they had to endure the... I would say that they are similarly related to Jack Kevorkian.
So it's a kind of thanatosis.
It's definitely thanatology, but it is suicidal in the sense that they probably could go on and they probably could get cures, but they need, you know, from underwater people living in the deepest part of our oceans, out of towners, as I call them, could probably help them, but would rather that they demonstrate the beaching procedure so that we can hopefully interpret it as suicide.
There's a subtle issue here. The out-of-towners who are basing themselves in deep ocean.
And also underground bases.
Sure.
Constructed by our own military.
Excuse me, constructed by our own military.
Yes.
We can get into that in a second.
Sure.
But those ETs who are interacting with the dolphin population or other highly evolved aquatic peoples, that these beings are there sea creatures born of this planet who communicate with ETs or with each other with the kind of
they were put here slightly after we were put here.
Do they communicate with each other and with the ETs with the presumed intelligence and clarity that we are enjoying in this discussion?
Yes, but on a totally different kind of level, in which you cannot impose human boxes or human labels or humanization upon them.
Humanization meaning the propensity for us to put a grid work down of language and to understand the world in terms of language?
Language and behavior, cross-cultural anthropology, I would call it.
Okay, so they don't have cross-cultural anthropology.
They have in comparison with us.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
I think
the dolphins are much, much more in tune, as are some of the whales, in tune with out-of-towners.
Do certain highly developed whales and or dolphins board flying saucers and explore the cosmos with the Zetas?
They have been taken for trips, I suppose, but they do exist on other populated planets where they do have relatives. Okay. They're like relatives.
So there is a traveling back and forth between Earth populations of residents of this planet who happen to be dolphins and or whales, mm-hmm. to other planets aboard flying saucers with the assistance of their cousins, the Zeta Reticulans.
Yes, and I said dolphin-like skin in the sense of the red for that I was, well, one specific, but others too, with smooth dolphin-like skin, and promised in the sequel, The Bright White Light Quartet, to explain and elucidate further on it. Dolphins and whales can be communicating with several of their own, maybe a few feet away, and still at the same time be communicating with their same species hundreds of miles away too, at the same time.
So their brains are operating on multi-channels.
Yes, and they are much larger than us, and their brains are more utilized than ours. We have had some miracle cures of autistic children and Down syndrome children being placed in the same place with dolphins, and have come out more normal than we had ever expected.
Is there an attempt to be communicating with the dolphins and the whales to understand their language and their messages?
Oh, yes, but it's very highly classified.
They were used, I know that dolphins were used, they were attempted to use the dolphins in espionage activities.
Yes.
Associated with the Navy SEALs. And that didn't necessarily...
Well, it was because the dolphins understood sign language. I mean, you could tell through sign language the dolphin to do something, and the dolphin would do it.
The problem was that there came a point, from what I understand, that the dolphin figured out the motivation for the things that were being asked of it, and they couldn't be given orders.
That's correct. They would perform, but they wouldn't do some of the taking out of, not because of the risk of injury to them, because they don't believe that the container they're in is the end of them when it dies. So it is not that they haven't been cooperative in seeking mines or even planting mines on ships. They just refuse to take part in the killing or anything that might be related to killing others. They look at us, too, in layers like an MRI or a positron emission tomography or a PET scan. They look at us and then they can, because of their unique abilities, they can look into us. They can also see disease present or feel it present, and that's why they've been so helpful to many children who have had either autistic problems or even have had some cancer children have been put in with them, and some have done remarkably well. They're very misunderstood, and thank God, well, unfortunately, the manatee is not as pretty as the dolphin or as graceful, and they are on the road to extinction. But we should not be killing dolphins or whales in any way, especially since we don't quite understand the highest levels of their thinking and their specifically their spirituality.
For our general audience, if you would like to take some time and go over the main purpose of why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book for several reasons. Number one, that to try to assuage the deep distrust that 3 out of 4 Americans have with their government, in that the government is under enormous pressure both to release the information and not to release the information. I also wrote the book to explain that in the universe, thought is one of the powers of the grand unified field theory, as I call it. It's more a field theory than it is just a simplified theory. It is not simple at all. Secondly, I wanted to create an idea in the book that would help people to explore themselves, to explore the fact that their spirits did not remain in the containers even during life. That it was possible for a soul to travel. And most important of all, I promised my son when he had a strong suspicion that he wouldn't live his whole life, that I would establish, and his concerns and my concerns for the children of this planet, who I believe are the hope and future of this planet, that a foundation would be created in my son's name, a 501c3 under the jurisdiction of the IRS, and that all proceeds from this book shall go to that foundation.
One of the first things that you address in the book is the cloning of a human. I was wondering if you could expound on that.
Well, even though I didn't say what happened specifically because of national security subsection 312, I did say that 2 other scientists and myself did create a clone. We used genetic material from ourselves, mostly mine, and it was a project that was terminated when I spent time with this individual, explaining to him that in the military handbook for both officers and enlisted men, you have a right to question the morality and ethicality of an order. And he failed a direct order. And I said, say in the book he was terminated, but I helped him get away.
Dr. Wolf, I just wanted to find out if you could tell us anything about cattle mutilation.
Ooh, I better be careful here. Even though it's not as in medicine, we know we can't transfuse cow's blood directly into humans like some people think. Cows are enormously similar to humans in genetics, and if you read Michael Crichton's book on why they had to use frog, you know, when you are genetically engineering something, you need a cap on each sequence. And it is the cattle that provide those caps on engineering hybrids.
I understand that.
They have to, each sequence, once they go through a sequencing process, each one has to be capped with something that is not necessarily the same genetic material, but is close enough to allow for a hybridization process to be viable.
Is this the reason why only certain parts of the tongue?
Yes, because they are the most highly concentrated genetic material.
It seems kind of odd that they simply don't take the whole cow, and if they use the part of it that they need, they'll just take a ray gun and emulsify the rest of it. Instead, they go to the trouble, or they don't go to the trouble. Whatever they do is they just throw the cattle back onto the poor rancher's land and fly off, with the rancher having to clean up this mess. Why don't they just simply either, as I say, incinerate or emulsify or liquidate or laser into nothingness what they don't need, or why don't they just simply grow their own? I mean, what's the problem here?
The problem is in the microgravity that they travel in, it's very difficult to grow cows. Sorry, but that's the fact.
But
we're going to find in long space voyages for humans that we're going to have problems in reproduction. We're finding that in a polluted, toxic atmosphere anyway, and the number of clinics for fertility has skyrocketed. It's a multi-billion dollar business now. As we pollute and toxify sterility, and the inability to bring forth children is occurring more and more. Also, in a microgravity atmosphere, or an aerospace environment, it would be very difficult to breed cows. Why they don't emulsify them or, vaporize them, I don't know. I really don't.
You did opine once that they're trying to tell us by this act.
Oh, I think yes, that too. That we should know their presence. I mean, all of the things they do are leading us to the day when they're going to be landing, and we'll have hope by them that we're not going to attack them.
Before you were 12 years old, had you experienced contact or abduction? And then I was going to ask you, but didn't. Did your mother faint upon hearing of this event?
She not only fainted, but she became more and more hysterical, where she needed to be put on something called Milltown, which was the famous...
the Prozac of its era.
Well, the Valium of its era.
Valium of its era, yes. Sorry. And your father...
Milltown, which is methylphenidate.
And, of course, your father was more understanding.
He was... Yeah, he because I don't think, I mean, he told me to be not to mention it in front of my mother because she had a tremendous problem with my birth, and he didn't go into any of the details, but hinted an awful lot about it, that my birth, you know, I mean, he was overseas when I was born.
So there may have been E.T. contact at your birth.
There was E.T. contact at my birth.
Uh-huh. And she had maybe blocked it out, and when you began to disclose these matters, it all started to come back. And
Like a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
Only it was frightening.
Uh-huh. Yeah, especially, yes, she sensitive.
Especially to me, mm-hmm. being, you know, her first son and thinking everything would be okay, regardless, because I had faith in them, in the visitors. I had faith in what I called the out-of-towners or my little invisible space friends, which my father asked Keller, and then I said there were my little invisible gray space friends, and he said, "You sure they weren't green?" And I said, "No, they were gray." And he said, "That's the same as mine." So it ran in the family.
Did it run in his family before in earlier generations?
I cannot be sure. He did say that his father had some very unusual experiences in Russia, the former Soviet Union, before, you know, I mean, it was the Bolsheviks, and that's when my grandfather escaped with my grandmother from Russia, and they had had some experience with it. So it did, I don't know how far back it ran, but it did go to my father's father, it did go to my mother's mother, and then my mother. And then it traveled on to, besides myself, my wife and my son. So I was quite comfortable with my wife and my son discussing it. Although I don't think I was ever totally comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Because I always felt, if you will, if you'll excuse the pun, I always felt alienated.
Great. So you're alienated from the aliens and alienated from the humans?
No, I felt much more comfortable with the aliens than I did with humans.
Okay.
They referred me... or at least the Nordics refer to me as his other brother.
Robert Dean, I don't know whether you know of Sergeant Major Robert Dean, who worked...
I had the pleasure of talking with him once.
Okay, so you're aware of his material generated from SHAPE in Europe,
yes.
And the study they did regarding, during the Cold War, the...
Assessment, yes. I know the assessment.
And that there were at least four ET races... investigating us simultaneously, but not necessarily interconnected with each other in any genetic way.
Maybe at the highest level there was some interconnection. I am aware of his getting hold of the assessment, and I think it boggled his mind a bit.
Well, what Dean told us is that we knew of, that is the generals
who were leading the investigation for the security headquarters of the European NATO command, that they knew of the Zetas, Zeta-4s. They knew of the Reptoids. But the two entities that were most baffling and off-putting to them were the humanoids.
Oh, you mean the ones that looked like humans but were really hybrids?
Well, that's a question that I can't myself speak to, but from their standpoint...
They call them their brother race.
I wanted to talk a little bit about DART because that came up earlier and we didn't get into it, the Defense Alien Research Training, or Defense of Aliens and Rescue Training or Rescue Teams.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that, please?
Well, we figured that it was so compartmentalized, maybe we could compartmentalize within the compartment that we were situated in, that we did not approve of how they were treating guests of the government. And so we took and we exploited an ongoing project and turned the meaning around for some of us to help them get back to their people. When they were being held as guests of the United States government, incommunicado and virtually prisoner.
And how was this affected?
The details are really not at this point
disclosed.
Yeah, it's not something I prefer to disclose.
I wouldn't have expected you to, but I thought that the question
is closed at this time.
Yeah, I thought the question would give our audience.
Well, there's some of us that were on the inside who believed that they weren't being treated right. If you saw an autopsy table with Velcro tie down straps, was that to keep an unmoving person, a dead person, tied down, or perhaps to do an autopsy or a dissection of one whose organs were functioning at the time? This is abhorrent to me as a physician, because in the Hippocratic, or shall I say hypocritical oath, it does say do no harm, and I think that should be universal.
It could be argued by certain people, not necessarily any of us here, that it's tit for tat. After all,
they are not dissecting us and killing us. They are returning those people. And you've got to understand that the abductee who has the initial experience can be frightened. I was frightened years ago when a portal appeared in my living room, and I was almost hysterical.
Recently, in the media, instrument board or instrument the pilot station purportedly was found. That is
with the six fingers.
Yes, with the hand. Yeah, with the hand.
Yeah, well, that's neurological interface, and that was part of my work at S4. Is how do we neurologically interface with machinery, or machinery that is organic to some degree, and that the capacitance switches and fiber optics were all involved in that, and that was going back to 47.
And so these were six-fingered. The Zetas have six fingers? We always thought that they had three.
The reticulians, I call these the oranges because they're pink and brown. They have pinkish-brown skin. And those were the ones that the so-called Santilli films showed the dissections of, I wouldn't call them autopsies.
You call them the oranges. Certain investigators out in Sedona call them the quartz, C-O-R-T-S. And they claim that these six-fingered people are artificial or hybrids. And that
they might be. I really don't know too much about them, except that I have seen autopsy films similar to the one that Santilli released.
Uh-huh. Have you met Santilli?
No.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen in private and secluded in the Foreign Technology Division underground at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, I've seen similar dissections on film that were done in the late 40s.
We've never seen a dissection or a movie of a Nordic, only of the Zeta Reticuli.
I don't think there's ever been one of a Nordic, because I don't think they've ever crashed, or we've never been able to capture them, kill them, or have them die for some reason and do an autopsy on them. At least I have not been privy to it.
Yeah, Michael, I'm just changing the subject a little bit, but the one paragraph you have, there are no more excuses. In other parts of this galaxy, not to mention other galaxies, cosmic neighbors are running out of endurance and patience. And we've labeled time as being BC, as being AD, and now you have it also labeled as AA, after the arrival. Do you see this in the foreseeable future? If they're running...
Yeah, I see it both in the future, and there are two AAs after the initial arrivals and in the prehistory of man, and then in the recent returns, or maybe they've been coming here, you know, but I think that to date after the arrival for the future would be after... whether the government comes clean or not, they're going to be arriving, and it's not going to be for war. It's going to be to establish open diplomatic relations.
People, if you know, once the contact is made, are going to lose their discipline. If the ETs make formal contact, then people might start to look to them for leadership, and our own ranks would lose their discipline.
No government wants to lose its power. No one in power wants to lose their power. And no utility company wants to get a cheap, you know, source of energy that would interfere with their profit-taking.
Would our species be able, with its present state of maturity, would it be able to handle the kind of time, the kind of freedom that the technology that is out there would give our species?
Well, that's a point I think I addressed in the book, and not so much the time it would give if they gave us all of this technology. I don't think it would be a matter of giving it to us all at once, and the government has proved that already. They're holding back a lot of technology simply because we still have tribal warfare on this island Earth, if you want to call it that way. We are an island in this vast galaxy alone, and or this water world Earth. We still have tribal warfare. We still hate one another. We're still with the human equation that the aliens or the out-of-towners are still trying to understand over a long, long period of time, And that's how a soldier can shoot a whole family, mother, grandmother, wife, husband, children, dog, etc., and then throw himself on a grenade to protect his buddies. They don't understand this. They don't, you know, there are elements of the human equation that are still difficult for them. And this one is why I believe the abduction scenario continues to repeat. They're still looking for answers. They want to know more about why we love. I feel that over the last 50 years or so, we have been looking for a new pathways to spirituality, and that's one of the issues I address in the book. We have progressed, and I think Whitley Strieber has said, in fact, it's almost as if we have invited them and said it was time for you to come and begin interacting with us. That we have risen somewhat in our spirituality, even though we're still plagued with hostilities and jealousies and avarice, greed and power, etc. That many, many people, as because of the Celestine prophecy, selling as many copies as it did, and groups now studying the Celestine prophecies, in a sense of finding new ways to approach life. This is one of the ambitions, even though it's a seemingly very high ambition, that I have in my book, is for people to concentrate more on the fact that they are an integral part of a universe that is alive and connected. And that the further we go spiritually, perhaps we can make up for the huge difference between humanity and the race for technology.